Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into something pretty powerful. It's all about taking control of your thoughts using something called, have you heard of thought records?
Yeah.
Rooted in CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Absolutely.
And we've got some great excerpts here from CBT Tools, Thought Records, Transform Your Thinking. And seriously, by the end of this deep dive, you'll be well on your way to transforming those negative thought patterns, you know, the ones, into something way more empowering.
You know, it's funny. What really fascinates me about thought records is that they're not just like, you know, some fluffy feel-good exercise. They're really like a scientific toolkit for your mind. They draw directly from CBT principles and give you this structured way to examine those automatic thoughts, the ones that can kind of hijack our thinking. And, you know, in doing so, they can help you shift to a more balanced and rational way of thinking.
So it's not about like never having a negative thought again, right? It's about learning to like manage them.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. CBT, it really emphasizes the connection between our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. And thought records are just this practical way to explore and modify those connections. It's about recognizing that we actually have the power to choose how we respond to those automatic thoughts.
Yeah. And speaking of, the guide actually quotes William James, who said, "The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another." I mean, how powerful is that?
Couldn't agree more. It's a great quote.
It reminds us we're not just, you know, passively along for the ride with our thoughts. We actually have some agency here.
Yeah, for sure. And thought records really help us tap into that agency, that power to choose. They provide a framework for examining those automatic thoughts, which sometimes can lead to those not so fun negative emotions.
Okay, so let's get practical for a second. Imagine you're working on this super important project, right? Tight deadline. And then, boom, your boss throws you a curveball. Totally changes the scope of the work. What happens next in your mind?
Oh, I think we all know what happens next. I mean, in that kind of high-pressure situation, it's totally natural for those automatic thoughts to come flooding in. You know, things like, I'm going to fail, I can't handle this, or maybe even like, my boss thinks I'm incompetent. And those thoughts, while understandable in the moment, are often, well, fueled by cognitive distortions.
Oh, yeah. Cognitive distortions. I was just about to bring those up. Those pesky thinking traps, right? The guide mentioned a few examples, didn't it?
Right. Like catastrophizing. That's a big one where we just imagine the worst case scenario. Or overgeneralizing, where we take one tiny incident and suddenly it's this huge judgment about ourselves, about our abilities.
Okay. So back to our stressed out project manager. They're facing this sudden project change. What's the first step in using a thought record to handle this?
First things first, just describe the situation objectively. Just the facts. No judgments or interpretations. So here, it'd be something like, my boss significantly changed the project scope with very little time to make the changes.
Gotcha. Just laying it all out.
And
what comes next?
Then we capture those automatic thoughts, the ones that pop up immediately in response to the situation. Acknowledge those knee-jerk reactions, you know, like those I'm going to fail or I can't handle this kind of thoughts. Important thing here is to write them down exactly as they appear. No editing, no censoring, just get them out.
So you're becoming aware of those default responses, but there's more to it than just the thoughts themselves, right? Like what about the feelings that come along with them?
100%. Recognizing and acknowledging those feelings, those emotions that accompany the thought is absolutely crucial. Ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Is it anxiety, fear, anger, frustration? And how intense are these emotions on a scale of, let's say, 1 to 10? That can really help you gauge their impact.
It's like taking emotional inventory, right?
Yeah.
Getting a clear picture of just how much those thoughts are actually affecting you, feeling. But then, what next? How do you actually start to challenge those potentially distorted thoughts?
This is where the fun begins, where the real detective work comes in. Now that you've got the situation, the automatic thoughts, the feelings all laid out, it's time to examine those thoughts for any cognitive distortions. Remember, we're looking for those sneaky thinking traps that might be messing with your perception of reality.
Okay, let's play this out. So let's say our project manager's automatic thought is, my boss thinks I'm incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
How would you start to challenge that thought using the concept of cognitive distortions?
Well, you could start by asking yourself, what evidence do I actually have to support this? Did my boss actually say this? Or am I just, you know, interpreting the situation through my own lens? You might also ask, is this one single incident really representative of my overall performance? Here's where we start to unpack those overgeneralizations and look for some more balanced perspectives.
So it's like you're putting those negative thoughts on trial, right?
Yeah.
Demanding evidence.
Yeah.
Considering other interpretations. Shifting from, like, assuming the worst to actually seeking a more balanced and realistic view.
Yes, exactly. And this shift in perspective is ultimately what allows us to move towards a more balanced emotional state. Remember, we're not trying to eliminate negative thoughts. They're a part of life. But we are trying to learn how to manage them effectively so they don't, you know, control our lives.
I get it. This all makes sense. But I'm curious, like, what about those times when you're just so stressed or anxious? It feels impossible to even begin this whole thought record process. How do you even get to that point of, like, calm observation?
That is a fantastic question. And it brings us to a really important part of this whole thing, mindfulness. Because thought records work best when we can approach them with a sense of calm and objectivity, which, let's be real, can be hard when our minds are racing. That's where mindfulness techniques can be super helpful.
So it's not just about the thought record itself. It's also about creating the right, I guess, mental space to do it.
Exactly. Practices like focused breathing or body scans, they can help create that stillness, that clarity. And then you can step back from those overwhelming thoughts and emotions and approach the thought record with a calmer, more objective state of mind.
It's like hitting pause on the mental chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Giving yourself a moment to breathe and center yourself before you dive into that thought record.
Okay, I like that.
And the sense of calm focus. That's what allows you to truly observe your thoughts. Without judgment, recognize those distortions and start to come up with alternative, more balanced thoughts. It's like training your mind to be a better observer so you can recognize those thought patterns and choose how you want to respond rather than just, you know, reacting on autopilot.
This has been really insightful so far, but I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of this whole thought record thing. We've talked about recognizing those automatic thoughts, identifying distortions, and using mindfulness to get to that calmer mental state. But what's next? How do you actually shift those negative patterns and replace them with something more, well, constructive?
Let's dive into that. So before we took a little pause, we were talking about how mindfulness can help us get to that calm and centered state for, you know, tackling those thought records. But the real magic, like you said, comes when we start challenging those negative automatic thoughts and replacing them with alternatives, more balanced and realistic ones.
Yeah, exactly. We've identified the situation, the thoughts, the feelings, and maybe even spotted some cognitive distortions. So now what? Like, yeah. How do you actually shift your thinking at that point?
This is where we move from just observing to taking action. And it all starts with asking some really good questions. Remember our stressed out project manager from before? The one convinced their boss thought they were incompetent. Let's go back to that. Instead of just accepting that thought as the absolute truth, we start to question it. We ask, is there really any solid evidence to support this, to support this belief?
So you're encouraging a more evidence-based approach to how we think, instead of blindly accepting those negative assumptions.
Exactly. We start gathering evidence, both for and against the automatic thought. So maybe the project manager, they remember a time their boss actually praised their work. Or maybe there's been some recent positive feedback. And these pieces of evidence, they start to chip away at how valid that initial negative thought really is.
I can see how that would be powerful. It's like you're building a case, right? For a more balanced and realistic perspective. But what if the evidence, what if it does seem to support the negative thought? Like, what if the boss has been giving a lot of critical feedback?
That's where it becomes even more important to look at the cognitive distortions that might be at play. So here, the project manager might be doing what's called mind reading, you know, assuming they know exactly what their boss is thinking without any real proof. Or maybe they're filtering out all the positive feedback and only focusing on the negative. That's called mental filtering.
It's crazy how much these distortions can change how we see things, lead us down this like negative spiral. So by recognizing them, we can kind of take away their power over us.
Exactly. And as we're challenging those distorted thoughts, we start to come up with alternative perspectives, more balanced ones. So instead of my boss thinks I'm incompetent, the project manager might land on my boss has really high expectations. And this project change, it's presenting some challenges and we need to work through them together.
It's like a subtle change in how you're wording it.
Yeah.
But you can feel the difference. It goes from feeling defeated and full of self-doubt to a feeling of like, okay, I can handle this. More problem solving.
You got it. And that's what makes this process so cool. As we challenge those thoughts and replace them with these more balanced ones, we naturally start to feel different emotionally.
Right. The guy talked about how our thoughts, feelings, and actions are all linked. Yeah. So it makes sense that if you change your thoughts, your feelings and actions change too. But I'm wondering, does the thought stop there? Once you've got those alternative thoughts, are you done?
Not quite. Remember how we rated the intensity of our emotions earlier? Well, now that we've challenged the automatic thought and come up with something more balanced, it's time to check back in with those feelings. So, has the intensity gone down at all? Did the emotional tone shift?
It's like checking in with yourself again, noticing how that mental and emotional reframing has affected how you feel.
You got it. And this step is really important because it shows you with real proof how powerful this whole process can be. When you see that your anxiety has gone down or that you're not as frustrated, it really reinforces the idea that you have control over your thoughts and feelings.
It's like a positive feedback loop, right?
Yeah.
The more you do this, the more confident you become in your ability to manage those tougher thoughts and emotions.
Totally. And that confidence then starts to show up in other parts of your life. As you get better at using thought records to navigate tricky situations, you start to see yourself as more resilient, more capable of handling whatever comes your way.
It's like you're building some mental muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
I love that. And just like physical exercise, you know, practicing these thought records and mindfulness takes effort and consistency. But the more you do it, the more natural it becomes.
The guide also talked about making these practices part of your daily life, not just something you do when things are rough. So how can people make thought records and mindfulness a more regular thing?
One simple way is to set aside some time each day for mindfulness, even if it's just a few minutes. You could do a guided meditation, a mindful walk, or just focus on your breath for a bit.
Yeah, creating that space for stillness can be so grounding, especially in our crazy busy world.
For sure. And as you develop this mindfulness habit, you'll start to notice those automatic thoughts and feelings more easily throughout your day. And that increased awareness is key to breaking free from those negative cycles.
So it's not about trying to be perfectly mindful all the time. It's more about approaching your day in a more mindful way. But we shouldn't forget about the thought records. How can we make those a more regular thing too?
Well, it doesn't have to be this formal journaling session every time. Sometimes just mentally walking through the steps can be enough to change your perspective.
Oh, I see. So like if you're feeling anxious, you could take a few minutes to mentally identify the situation, acknowledge the thoughts, and challenge the distortions.
Yeah.
All in your head.
Yeah.
Without writing anything down.
Exactly. And the more you practice, the better you'll get at stopping those negative thoughts before they get out of control. It's like you're building a mental toolkit you can use anytime, anywhere.
This has been so helpful. I'm really starting to see how thought records and mindfulness can really help us take control of our mental and emotional well-being.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious about how all of this affects how we interact with the world. We've talked about the internal benefits, but what about the ripple effects? How might all this affect our relationships and stuff like that?
That's a really great point, and it's important to remember that what's going on inside us is connected to how we interact with the world around us. As we become more aware and balanced internally, those changes are going to show up in our relationships, our work, and our overall experience of life.
It's like that saying, as within, so without. If you create a more peaceful and balanced inner world, that's going to show up in your outer world.
Exactly. Let's explore that a bit more.
So we were talking about how this work we do with CBT and thought records, it can actually have a ripple effect. It doesn't just stay inside us. It can change how we interact with the world too. I'm really interested to hear more about that.
Well, think about it. When you're always fighting negative thoughts, feeling swamped by those tough emotions, it's hard to be your best self out in the world.
Right.
You might be more reactive, you know, more easily triggered. And it's harder to connect with people authentically.
Yeah, but you're carrying all that heavy stuff around with you.
Yeah.
And it just weighs you down when you're interacting with others.
Exactly. But when you start to practice those thought records and mindfulness, you're lightening that load. You're becoming more aware of those thought patterns. You get better at challenging them and better at handling your emotions.
So you're not just hijacked by those thoughts and feelings anymore. Mm-hmm. You actually have space to respond in a way that's more, I guess, thoughtful and deliberate.
Right.
And that could really change our relationships, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. Let's say you're having a disagreement with someone you care about. In the past, you might have jumped to conclusions right away, you know, gotten defensive or maybe just shut down emotionally. But now, with your CBT toolkit, you can pause, observe your thoughts, your feelings and communicate in a better way.
Yeah, you could say something like, okay, this is hurting me, I'm feeling angry, but I can see that I'm also kind of catastrophizing and assuming I know what you're thinking. Let's take a breath and try to understand each other's point of view.
Exactly, and that can change everything. Instead of things getting worse, you're creating space for, you know, empathy, understanding, resolution. And that's just one example. This stuff can affect every part of our lives.
I bet it's really valuable at work too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Imagine those high pressure situations at work, the ones that used to make you feel anxious or doubt yourself. Now, instead of getting pulled in by those thoughts, you can use your thought records to challenge them, find solutions, and even communicate what you need more assertively.
So you're able to approach those challenges with more clarity, more confidence, more resilience. And that's not only good for you, it's good for the whole team.
Absolutely. When you get better at managing your own thoughts and emotions, it creates a more positive environment for everyone. It's contagious, you're calm, you're centered, and it can inspire others to be the same way.
I like that. It's like a positive ripple effect.
Yeah.
Your inner work creates these waves of positive change that go way beyond just you. It really shows how powerful these practices can be.
And the best part is, it's a journey. We don't just reach this point where we're perfectly mindful or we never have negative thoughts again. It's about constantly learning and growing and getting better.
It's about accepting the whole human experience, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, and finding that balance within ourselves. And when we do that, when we find that inner harmony, we help create a more harmonious world around us.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And remember, it all starts with awareness, paying attention to those thoughts, noticing the patterns, and being willing to question those negative assumptions. It might not always be easy, but it's worth it.
This has been such a great deep dive into the world of CBT and thought records. We've explored the science behind it, the techniques, and just how transformative this approach can be. We've learned how to identify and challenge those negative thought patterns, incorporate mindfulness into our lives, and create a more balanced and fulfilling inner world. And most importantly, we've seen how that inner work can ripple outwards, creating a positive impact on the world around us.
That's what it's all about, empowering ourselves to live better lives and making the world a more positive and compassionate place.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. And if you're ready to learn more, check out the source we've been talking about, CBT Tools Thought Records. Transform your thinking. It's packed with insights and techniques that can really help you on your journey.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the incredible potential of your own mind.
Thanks for listening.